go to the Bible. And very briefly, I shall be very brief. Let's try to conclude what we started some time ago. This is the third part of the sermon we titled The Due Order. And please, those of you who are not here, let me move forward. Please, let me move forward. Allow me to move forward, because what we're trying to achieve, listen, church, our text is from 1 Chronicles chapter 13. That's where we are picking our text from. And all that I'm trying to achieve is to achieve two things from this sermon, from this series. Hallelujah. From this series. Like I was saying, the two things I want to achieve, church, is number one, that if you believe you have a calling, it's a wonderful thing to have a call of God upon you. But I said, every sacrifice or service you make to the Lord, there is a due order. There is an ordained order of serving God. So that, because if you don't follow the due order, there will be two things that will befall. Two things that you have a fallout from, of two things. Number one, you will lose your reward. Because when after the rapture, we are supposed to go before the Lord, and then the Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10, it says, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So, we will, and remember, we will stand before God. That is the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. We shall stand before Christ, and he will ask us, the talent, the gift he gave us, what did we do with it? So, you see, one, the gift, there is a reward that is supposed to follow. If you have a gift, you don't use that gift, you are only losing your reward. You are refusing a reward. It's compulsory that when the Lord gives you a gift, you must use it to serve him. But for you to also have a reward, you must make sure you use that gift according to the ordained order. Secondly, if you don't use it according to the ordained order, remember, especially the leadership gift. David, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, did not carry the ark according to due order. So what happened? It cost somebody's life. Uzzah died. The same thing also. Hallelujah. Uzzah died. If you carry especially a leadership office and you don't enter or carry on that sacrifice according to the ordained order, you will end up killing another Uzzah. So it's important that we serve God as individuals in our individual calling according to due order. Secondly, why this message is important is a way of letting the church also know how to identify a true ministry. I took a series recently, early this year, where I titled it The Identification of the True Church. How to Identify a True Church. But this time, I am using this sermon now to also let you know how to identify any claim. If any man comes before you and makes a claim and says, I have this calling, I am a prophet to this generation, I am a servant of God, I am the one fulfilling this scripture. The Bible says that he will send his servant to prepare the way before him. And a man comes out from nowhere and says, I am the one fulfilling that scripture. The Bible said, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, I will send my servant Elijah. And a man comes out and says, I am that Elijah the Bible spoke about. The man comes and says, God has called me to be a pastor. There is the fivefold ministry in the Bible, and a man is coming to say, I am one of the fivefold ministry. Oh, the church is expecting Revelation chapter 10, the manifestation of the seven thunders. And somebody is saying, the thunder has started. I am one of the voices of the seven thunders. Now, these claims will certainly come. Now, you as a Christian, what will you use to identify whether this is truly that ministry or not? That's all I want to achieve. And I've said it from our last two messages that there are five identifications, five things you will look out for. If that man or you yourself, you see yourself fulfilling all, not some, all of these five must, then you can go near. I'm talking to big fish. If you're a big fish, can I see your hand up? Big fish. Hallelujah. Big fish. Thank you. You know who a big fish is? You know who a big fish is? Eh? Not a denominational fish, oh. A big fish. A denominational big fish is anybody who get money, come church. You say, we don't catch one big fish. No. A true big fish is a predestinated seed of God, whose name is written in the book of life. And the time has come for him to come in, and he has come in. That is the big fish. Now, there are small, small fishes, and there are big, big fishes. Praise the Lord. The fisherman is looking for big fish, not small fish. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I was in the bathroom this morning, and a thought came to me. And I started laughing. Amen. Listen. Praise God. I don't know. That is how some thoughts come to me. The Bible. No. I preach a message. The gospel according to nature. How many remember that? Thank you. The gospel according to nature. Where Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 was saying, does not even nature teach you? And I made mention of something. I said, the Bible says, many are called, but few are chosen. And we looked at the birth of a child. It starts with a man planting a seed in the womb of the woman. But now watch it. Before a woman can be pregnant, naturally now, science has made us to understand the man must have at least 30 million sperm cells. Correct? Is it 30 minimum? Eh? Is it 50? Minimum? Minimum 50 million sperm cells for there to have one. For that predestinated seed to enter, there must be 50, or could I put it, 49 million others to help push one. Now think over it, church. Amen. For a man and a wife to have one child, there must be at least 50 million sperm cells, out of which one there will be produced. All of them look alike. Oh. If you look at the microscope, you will not know which one is which. Oh. All of them look alike. But only one. Think about that. Only one. If you have 30 million sperm cells, you cannot produce. You can't pregnant your wife. They will say you have low sperm count. Many are called. Few are chosen. So the thought that came to me today was, amen. All manner of carnalities have filled the entire message setting worldwide, and particularly in Nigeria here. And I was looking, all the entire message churches, they are small groups. Small groups. If they are many, they reach 100 members, and that will be about 30-year-old church. Small churches. Amen. Hallelujah. And it lets me know that is low sperm count. Does that mean anything to anybody? The problem in the inter-message churches in Nigeria is they have low sperm count. The sperms need to be boosted. Amen. So we have better chances of getting born-again Christians than those other settings. Many have to be called. And then you have to look at it. That it's not everybody sitting down that is a seed of God. So many people sitting down here, they came because out of us, the predestinated seed will be picked out. Every assembly is like that. That is why Apostle Peter said, be diligent to make your own calling and election sure. Who are you? Who are you? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, for you to accept any ministry that comes up, church is helping you. We have spoken so much about the denominational setting. We know concerning revelation, concerning who the denominations are in this church, we have settled that. The denominational system, we have settled it scripturally, is the Antichrist system. It is the Antichrist system. Their own is settled. If you follow the spirit of delusion, someone that I preached the spirit of delusion, you will now know that the anointing is the delusion. So the denominations are given the anointing to delude the people, to lead a certain group of people to their destruction. Because that is where they are ordained to be. Why? They have no love for truth. Praise the Lord. Now, in Matthew 24 verse 24, he speaks about the spirit of deception. He said it will be so close that if it were possible, it will deceive the very elect. Church, listen. If the spirit of deception will be so close that it will deceive the very elect, and it is written in the Bible, where is the elect? The elect of God, another word for them, is the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ has moved away from the denominational setting. No denominational spirit can come and deceive anybody in this message. Therefore, if it will be so close, it means that the person that will come, the spirit that will come to deceive the bride, will be carrying sermon books of William Branham. We'll be carrying sermon books of William Branham. You have to know that. Stop looking away. Looking at the denomination. We are past their level. Satan knows he has been exposed at that level. What is after? He has gotten the denominationals in his pocket and zipped them already. The people he's after now are those who claim we have caught the revelation by the last prophet's message. You don't catch it. Then he will come with the same message. Carry the same sermon book. And come and begin and make claims. So, if anybody comes holding William Branham's sermon books and making a claim. Brother Branham said this. Raymond Jackson said this. John said this. Apostle Paul said this. Now, before you accept him, there are five things that must be achieved. If that person fulfills these five things, follow him and don't look back. But if he does not achieve any of these five things, do the way Jews will do to false prophets. What will they do to them? You stone them. But this time, don't stone them with stones. Stone them with the word of God. Ta, ta, ta. They will go back. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The bride of Jesus Christ is established on revelation. Our eyes of understanding he has opened up. No more mumu mumu followership. Next Sunday, I will take my message on Christmas. And then we shall prove when Christ was born. And we shall see that Christ was born between September and October. It's in the Bible. So that when they are saying Christmas, 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 the bride of Christ, our eyes of understanding, he has opened up at last. No more mumu mumu followership. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Some people don't bring offering again because they're reserving money for Christmas. Mumu. How many mumus are here? Hallelujah. So, I said number one, that service that you are offering, or that claim you are seeing, number one, it must be according to his word that has been spoken. And I have explained it two Sundays ago. Last Sunday, I explained the second must. Number two, it must be by the one he himself, God, has chosen. I explained that. Hallelujah. And when God chooses you, he gives you a message. You will have a message. Because God calls you and he sends you. Hallelujah. And then using the story of Ahimaaz in 2 Samuel chapter 18, Ahimaaz, we saw that there are a lot of people, two types of call. There is the perfect call. Hallelujah. That Joab was the one that told Cushi, go. Cushi did not come to Joab and say, send me, here am I, send me now. He sit down, JJ. Joab is the general in charge of the army of David. He knows the capability of everybody. God knows our capabilities. And he knows who can do any job he wants to be executed. But we have Ahimaaz, who ran and said, send me, send me. In fact, on his own, he ran to Joab and said, hey, I know it's time for you to send somebody to the king. Send me, let me go. And that ministry of Ahimaaz is in this entire message. Even now, God not call you. You say, I want you to call me. And Joab said, no, you don't have any tidings now. You don't have a message. You don't know anything. Even water baptism, you cannot explain. You want to go and start ministry. Godhead, you don't know. Name the seven church ages. I don't remember. Okay, name one star messenger. Just one. Abraham, there among. And you said, God, use me, call me. You don't have any tidings, Ahimaaz. So, he says, okay, Cushi, go. Then he came. And Joab sent me also. When he disturbed Joab too much, Joab said what? Okay, go. So Cushi, go. Ahimaaz, go. By the same person, Joab. Those are the two types of ministry. It's God that told the two of them to go, Abi. God, call this one. God, call this one. But you don't know under which circumstance he told them, go. And we saw the end. Somebody's running ministry. And no message. And so we saw that number two, it must be by the one he, God himself, has chosen. Praise the Lord. Today, number three, the man that he, God, has chosen, number three, the man must be vindicated and equipped. Did I say that last Sunday? Did I touch on that last Sunday? Did I mention number three last Sunday? No, let's talk about it. Number three, the man must be vindicated. I have to hurry up because of time. The man must be vindicated and equipped. When we speak of vindication here, we are speaking about a situation where God will let everybody know that I have sent you. That's the vindication. We saw the way Jesus Christ was vindicated. Hallelujah. Christ himself, from his birth, his death, the miracles he performed, his resurrection, and even during baptism, when John was baptizing him, a voice spoke from heaven and everybody heard it. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. God called Moses also, and he equipped him. The equipping there, vindication and equipping, hallelujah, for the work. I always say, when God calls you, he anoints you for the thing he has called you to do. Amen. And the anointing that will follow such a person is not the type of anointing that will be flowing because you always fast. Whether you fast or you know fast, that anointing is there. Oh, somebody must hear me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Samson was on top of a prostitute. On top of a prostitute. Hey, Samson, Philistines are upon you. He jumped off from a prostitute. Wear his short knicker. And all he did is shake himself again. Hey, even on a prostitute, the anointing flow. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, you will say God call you. Your anointing flows only after you go to a mountain and come back. God no call you. Is somebody understanding me? Is somebody understanding me? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Moses, God called him. He had to equip him. Why? Because there must be vindication from heaven that God is with him, and then he has to be equipped. And equipping here is from various angles. Equipping is equipping you with all that will enable that ministry to stand. For instance, Moses had a deficiency of, he was a stammerer. And among the things he was telling God, I have deficiency of speech. How will you tell me to go and instead of God, hallelujah, to correct his speech, he brought Aaron for him. When you speak, Aaron will interpret for you. When you are saying, because Aaron is your brother, Aaron knows you very well. When you want to say, go, 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 he will understand you are trying to say, come. He will say, he say, come. Amen. When he goes before Pharaoh, he went with Aaron. When he's saying, Pharaoh, go, 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 he said, God. He said, let. My people, go. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yes. Amen. And then, to show that God is with him, what do you have in your hand? A stick. Because he asked him, if I go, they will not believe. Church, there is nobody that God has ever sent that the people will ever believe. No, they will never believe. God knows how stubborn the people are.
Greek seeketh a sign.
Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Everybody is looking for sign.
Hallelujah.
They came to Jesus Christ. Show us a sign.
Now you are the Messiah. And he told them the sign that he will give. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Moses told God, God, if I go before Pharaoh and say you sent me, he will ask me. Even the Jews will say, show us evidence. Say, God, call you. Brethren, if God call you, there will be evidence to show.
Oh, church. Let somebody's eyes be open.
If God send you, there will be evidence.
He said, okay, I know Pharaoh will not believe. I know the Jews will not believe.
What do you have in your hand?
A stick. Throw it down. Your hand first. Put it in the bosom. Bring it out, it became leprous. We all know the story. Put it again, it became clean. Sign number one. You have a stick, yes. Throw it down. It will turn. It turned to snake. Pick it again. It turned to a stick again. Hallelujah. Church, I have always emphasized this. That is the sign. The sign is not the ministry. The anointing is not the ministry. Church. That is where the denominations miss it. They are following the sign instead of following the message. The sign is to attract you to hear the message.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Moses was not sent to turn sticks to snakes. His ministry was not a miracle ministry. He was given a message, but so that they would believe him, he was given a sign. And every ministry in the Bible, God will always give you that sign. He will also vindicate you. There are other ways he uses to show that I am with him. One of the ways, because every gift you operate can be impersonated by Satan. So, it will not just be anointing. There are other things he will use to vindicate. Like in the case of Moses. Moses is a perfect type. If we don't talk about any other character, we just talk about Moses, you can pick something from there. Moses, it reached a time that certain people that got so close to him, Miriam and Aaron, got so close to him, and you can see that in Numbers chapter 12. And Moses, they begin to challenge him that he married a Cushite, an Ethiopian woman. That he married an Ethiopian woman. And they were, hey, you talk about yourself too much. Hey, they were challenging Moses. God got angry. Let me tell you something. A true servant of God does not defend himself. Do you understand? If you are doing what God has called you, you don't care about what anybody is saying concerning you. Amen. And there's no servant of God, no true servant of God that was ever accepted by the world. So they must say something. When this ministry started, all inter-message churches say we are using occultic powers. They said it so to our master, Jesus Christ. They said it so to the prophet of this age, William Branham. They will continue to say it. But do you know what? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When he got to that stage, God, amen, got angry and sent his judgment on Miriam. And Moses had to go intercede for Miriam. And we all know the story that took place. That sent her, because she became leprous. Her body began to eat up with leprosy. Immediately. And let me tell you, I'm saying this to the glory of God, not rejoicing over it. But everyone must rejoice when you know God is backing you up. It's true, it increases your faith to go ahead. There's no minister
no minister preaching this entire message that has stood up to lie against me that God did not descend on. None. Since this ministry started. Those of them who left here and started talking nonsense because they could not fulfill their lusts and desires in this place. Watch all of them. They're all walking about like vagabonds. No address. No peace. Everywhere you go and see them. East or west. Apostle Jude called them wandering stars. No rest for them. Like their master. To and fro. Looking for who to devour. All they do is, are you still in bride? Hey. You're still there, that place. Okay, you are telling the person to leave there and go where? And follow you to where? You don't have address. Where is he to follow you to? To and fro, seeking who to devour. And the Bible says you should resist them. And you know how you resist them? By the word. By the word. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Dathan, Korah, and Abiram. In Numbers chapter 16, they challenged Moses again. God descended on them. One day, they and all the members of their families, all of them, 250 of them, the earth opened and swallowed up all of them. Moses said, to prove, if you die the natural death, then know that God did not call me. But that you will know that God has called me. Something that has not been heard of before. You will be perished. The ground will open. And you will swallow you people alive. Because ground swallow only after you have died. Nabi. That is the meaning of grave. But this time now, you will be alive. The ground will swallow you up. When he finished talking like that, the judgment of God came. The ground opened. 250 of them. Number 16. Read it there. They all died. Oh. And you know the Jews. Hallelujah. They will never, learn their lessons in time. The same thing too with Aaron. Even shortly after that, in Numbers chapter 17, in Numbers chapter 16, Dathan, Korah, and Abiram, they just finished that experience. In chapter 17 again, the Jews were grumbling against Aaron. Aaron that God chose by himself to stand and walk with Moses. They were being challenged. And we know what happened. God is saying, okay. Already judgment was going on. They were already dying. 14,700. Is it 14 or 4,700? Already. We are already dead and going. Moses had to tell Aaron, run with a censer and incense. And go immediately and withstand the hand of God. Why? Several thousands died. Why? That was God's own way of letting them close their mouth when it comes to his servant that he himself has called. That is the vindication I'm talking about. And shortly after that, he said, all the 12 families, let them bring their rod. And they put it in the tabernacle of witnesses. And kept it there till the next day. He said, the man whose rod, write the name of everybody in their rod, the one, a dry stick that is put there. If you wake up and you see leaves on it, that is the man. The owner of that road is the man I have called. And of course, they did it. And before the whole Jews, it was only Aaron's own that bought. It was only Aaron's own. By that, the whole Jews knew. And since God wanted to even vindicate Aaron so much, I am sure that all other rods, they became drier than when they were put there the previous day. I am sure it will happen like that. And watch it. All these intermessage churches that are making claims everywhere, very soon some will try. So that the one that we bought will be vindicated that God is here. I believe it with the whole of my heart. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is the vindication. Apostle Paul was vindicated and equipped. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. He spoke about the mighty miracles. Hallelujah. And Apostle Paul, he was an apostle. Listen, church. He was an apostle. Amen. He was an apostle, church. And he became a sign for the Gentiles because he was the apostle to the Gentiles. Any gentleman that we claim the office of an apostle, before we accept you to be an apostle, we will look at your ministry and your claim and your teachings, and we will look at Apostle Paul. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 12.